Welcome yet again, everyone. It's Pamela. And these gatherings are dedicated to who we are, to what animates everything that's at the heart of all matter, that is the heart of the matter. And thank you for joining us on, in at least in the States, a Thanksgiving weekend, a weekend where hopefully our awareness goes to all the beauty and the bounty of life, of friendship, the small pleasures and the more excessive ones, just all the natural delight that is the nature of embodiment. So what are you noticing? What are you noticing? We can certainly say, as awareness, that's our great talent, noticing the infinite nature of what is, all the beautiful contrast, distinctions. So if you'd like to speak, just unmute yourself by pressing star 6, and then when it feels complete, star 6 again.
Pamela?
Yes?
I've spoken to you before about this situation I'm in the Berkeley Satsangs, I think. I am still stuck in a living situation that is sometimes unbearable. And I'm just kind of despondent at this point.
Yes.
I still don't know how to get out of this. I feel like I am being harassed by people where I live or around where I live. By them and by noise, and I'm really sensitive to noise.
Yes.
To put it mildly.
And there's no possibility of moving?
I can't find a way out, and my situation is different than a lot of people's.
Mm-hmm.
It's very limited where I can go. In the Bay Area, you know, if the rents are sky high here right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take refuge within. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So just bringing awareness into the right side of the chest. This is Ramana's great invitation to us to notice that quiet space in the right side of the chest. And just allowing everything to rest there for a moment.
I'm having a hard time with my mind.
That's all right. Yeah, that's where most of the noise is coming from, and then it's reflected in the neighborhood. And it's not personal to you, it's just the function of the restless mind, yeah, the one mind. So just tell the mind, we'll get back to you, thank you for your worried love. Just a few times to the mind, thank you for your love. Just calming down the wild beast, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did it unwind a little bit?
Tears are coming.
Oh, good. So. And that's what we would call grace, meaning just these moments of relief. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then going into the right side of the chest again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just like you could just lie down in there. Rest and recover. And could you just rest there forever? Would that be all right?
I don't think I'm quite resting. So I keep feeling this, I don't know what to call it, lower in my solar plexus, like excited, not in a good way, but an excited energy type thing.
Yeah, but let's go say hello to that.
Okay.
If everything's consciousness, we're just seeing if that's true. So just to that, excuse me, just welcome, welcome. You are welcome here.
It sort of feels like a fear. Sort
okay.
Of.
But just thank interpretive services in the head. Give it a kiss. And let's go back to being with it. The, sort of dancing energy there. And let it know its strength is welcome here. And always feel free to change the words. The vibrancy is welcome here. Or its aliveness is welcome here.
Oh, that helped. It moved a little bit further down. In,
oh, good.
Still in the solar plexus, but...
Yes, and just follow it and just thank you, thank you, thank you. Here we've left the realm of reason and intellect behind, and here we are in the mystery, which has a very beautiful elemental, practical, creative intelligence. So we're just following it. It's saying, come with me, madam. Just yes, 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 I'm here, I'm here.
It helped a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And what is our mysterious friend present in an unusual form up to in this moment?
That energy?
Yeah.
It's calmed down a little bit.
Okay.
And then my attention's coming back up to my heart.
Oh, very nice. And can we bow to the mystery of the heart?
I'm sorry, I'm just having a hard time with this today. And that, because now that energy's come back, it's like it really wants my attention in the lower solar plexus type.
Yeah, but can you get a sense, something thinks it's not bearing a gift. It's sort of like, ugh, oh, please. So just ask it what gift it wants to give you.
That energy?
Yeah. Because it's kind of excited about being with you.
I'm not getting anything, but there was an easing again of the...
There was an easing again, yes. So it's very responsive to you, to your being with it. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Yeah. And let it know its aliveness is welcome here. Because even stress has a lot of, life force, positive life force in it. So we're just, whatever its nature is, it's offering to return, a rooted strength back to the embodiment, which would be lovely for you. So just letting it know your aliveness is welcome here, or whatever word clicks for you. And just as if you're diving deep into a warm ocean, just allow awareness just to go into the heart of the depths. Would that be right?
Of the heart or of that area?
Yeah, wherever you're drawn.
Okay.
It's like you're a little kid again and you're just swimming into where you're being called, where you're curious.
It keeps feeling like it keeps wanting to be heard, or almost like it wants to scream or yell.
Yeah, but just say yes to it.
Pardon?
Let it, just tell it, yes, 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 yes. Because it wants to uncontain itself.
Okay.
You know, so much of our life force is contained.
Yeah.
So this would bring the vibrancy back into the body and into that clear seeing that you are, because it's been sort of burdened and weighed down by circumstance, yeah?
Yeah.
And now just zip into the right side of the chest, just for a moment, as if you were a hummingbird. Just into that stillness, into that nectar that's always there, that very quiet, 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 quiet quiescence there, just, oh, resting. And how does that feel? What's noticed there in this moment?
Frustration. I can't get there. I'm feeling like I'm taking up too much time and I'm just...
Oh, no, no. That's our friend Thought again. Yeah. So give Thought a kiss. And if you like, you can continue this on your own during the call and maybe even afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Because once we start functioning as the kindness and the clarity inside, then everyone returns to their true nature. Even the mind can quiet down. And then there'll be more noticing of the resilience in presence. And from that rooted place, then decisions can be made and you can notice that there are options, even though the facts say there's not, or thought says there's not. That part of the mind is our I can't or it's not possible part. And then below the nose, it's just pure potentiality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's more, the most practical thing we can do is to show the mind its true nature, because otherwise it writes a very uncomfortable script for us that in a sense just endures. So just resting here and just thanking the mind for its worried love. And maybe come up to me at a Berkeley Satsang or email me or something. How's that?
That'd be good.
Okay, dear.
There's something that wants to be said, and I don't feel comfortable saying it on the phone. So, yeah, thank you.
Okay, yes, yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, love.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Pamela. It's Rosie.
Hey, Rosie. Thanks.
How
for
are
your
you?
I'm good. Thanks for your Thanksgiving email.
Yes, of course. I think of you all the time. I'm okay. I'm good, actually. My health is okay right now, and that makes me very happy.
Lovely.
Yeah, I've been seeing a classical homeopath, and it's been working. It's been very interesting.
Yay.
And so I wanted to kind of pick up on what you spoke about last week, and it's what keeps coming up for me, this witnesser.
Yes.
I don't have such a poetic name for it. I just say one that's always standing there. So you say the one that everything passes through?
Uh-huh.
I had a lucid dream then, where I was at a precipice, and I just didn't know what to do. It was just dark, and there was nothing. And that's where it always ends. It's like there's nothing, and I'm like in this in-between state. And I thought, oh, my God, I have to do something. So what I got out of this was I felt this difference, you know, of this doing that's always been there. That I think that's not what we originally are. It's just become like what I do or what we do as humans. And so I asked myself, well, what if I don't do anything? What's the problem with just being? So I noticed there's this, always this subtle place within me, an aspect of me just standing there. And then I get like, you said that it's not the asleep and the awake, but there is some sort of a shift, it feels like. And I just, there's like this tremendous fear, and there's a, like, well, this can't possibly be true. You know, this is nothing. You know, this what's happening, nothing.
Yes, yes, but it has this idea, it labels it nothing, the human version of nothing.
Right.
And then there's a reaction to that. And
correct.
Yet
yeah.
You're noticing, even in the dream, that you're just gazing
right.
into the vast, luminous darkness. And then it's when thought comes in and says, you have to do something now,
uh-huh.
that the agitation arises. And then you're... deep clarity spoke and said, no, we can just be. Even
so
doing the rest.
Looking, who's, how can there be so many of us? I mean, there's,
well, there's
you know
and
I mean?
Then your servants, so to
there's
speak.
There's like three. I feel like there's three. There's my personality.
Okay.
Chatty Cathy going on all the time, just a chaka-chaka. And then there's an aspect of me that's not doing anything.
Yes.
And just watching.
Yes.
I kind of want to be there.
Well, you already are. So go look in the back. Go look in the background. So even the background of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a, I want to say a stillness, like a, something just there.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all have decided is we call it being. Just ever the same, just hanging out, noticing all the, you know, upwellings.
Mm-hmm. And that's it?
Huh?
That's it?
Well, apparently so. There's being in the background. And then the
right.
doing is happening in the mid-ground.
Correct, yep.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, the body tootles around and does all this fun stuff. And,
So there is no shift.
Well, there is a sort of a kinesthetic... feeling, you could call it, shift from that sort of frenetic doing back into responsive, practical, creative. Attending. Yeah. Whereas before, it's the difference between driven and response. And it's there's a sort of an, a quiet, elegant naturalness in the response. And the driven, even the body mind goes, oh, we don't like this.
It gets tired, right?
Yeah.
It gets tiresome to do that. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just going to stay with that.
Lovely. I love that satsang.
Yeah, it just keeps coming up, and I just keep staying with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not personal to you. It's in the collective.
Right.
Yeah, this sort of restless, seeking,
dissatisfaction.
Right,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what? Well, what's the point? There's nothing to do, nothing. And yeah, there's adventures and whatnot, but it's not, there's nowhere, I'm changing, I don't know, something like that.
Yes.
All right, sounds good.
Okay,
always
love.
Nice to hear your voice.
Much, much love, dear.
Okay, ciao.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hi, this is Vidya.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I just love being with you with your telesatsangs and your loving and giving heart and wisdom, and I want to say that first.
Thank you.
And, yeah, it's such a gift for me and everyone. Anyway, I can relate to the first caller to some extent of some sadness and depression that's come up since I've moved from my last place. And for me, I think that maybe I give my emotion too much attention rather than going into the heart and going there first in, instead of into the thought or the emotion. And so my question is that true? Is it important to go to that resting place in the heart, in order to be with it, anything and everything?
Well, it's more what you resonate with, and it might be different from moment to moment, but I find if the waters are choppy, if there's lots of waves, I'm going to go into the stillness, really root myself, even though I am the stillness, we all are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sort of root myself in the unmoving, and then I'm going to go be with the waves and see what they need. But if I've become a wave and I'm like trying to help the other waves, that's not really going to... Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, but compassion is so practical. I used to think it was some grand divine quality, but it's a very practical thing because it brings everything to rest. Anything like that sorrow and that mourning, the loss of the last beautiful space you lived in, they're coming for satsang.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't seem like they're ever going to leave.
Well, sorrow, maybe they're ripe for noticing their true nature. Yeah?
Say that again?
Well, I'm just wondering if the reason sorrow is pestering you is because it's ripe, ready for knowing its true nature.
Uh-huh.
Can you just bow to the sorrow?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And ask it if it would like to know its true nature and live that rather than its role of sorrow.
Oh. Definitely there's, yes, always a longing to know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So ask sorrow to look behind its idea of itself, behind its robe of tears and regrets and longings. Just looking a little deeper behind the known and the habitual. And sorrow doesn't have to know anything, it's just looking.
It seems like I always have a hard time looking behind and finding.
Oh, that's okay. But just you can even honor it as presence, sorrow. And ask it who it is. Who is it really? So let it uncover itself. You don't have to do anything.
It feels like a combination of compassion.
Yes.
And it seems like it's mixed together with the sorrow and the compassion.
Yeah. Now, can you just adore that for a moment? I remember you're such a talented painter, so the paint of compassion and the paint of sorrow mixed. So just adore that for a moment. Like, oh.
Okay.
What a wonderful noticing. There's compassion swirled in there with the sorrow.
I can understand that, and mm-hmm. I can feel it, and when I paint, I feel more inspired, but when I'm in this place, it doesn't doesn't feel so inspired.
Yeah. So ask sorrow, are you compassion that became human? And that's not beautifully said, but it has the gist of it. So we're just asking sorrow, are you compassion that sort of fell to earth with a thud?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So ask it to just go behind history. So the sorrow is the history, you know, we almost could say it's, here we are back to the paints again, but it's personal history and the history of humanity that compassion was caring, and then compassion, and this isn't the deepest truth, but compassion kind of got a little overwhelmed and became sorrow. So just in compassion, went, whoa, it's too much, oh my God. So just in this moment, invite the sorrow to throw off her robes of history. Personal and collective. So like she said,
that would feel wonderful.
Yeah. So we're just inviting her to do it because for some reason I'm on a painting thing. I'm getting transmission from you, but she's this pure canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just invite her to throw all the paint of the past off. All history, she's back to her just pristine, transparent radiance.
With that, I see this like iridescent white.
There you go. Yeah. Now let's feed that a little bit with gratitude. Just yes, yes, yes. There you are. Look at you. gorgeous. And just feed her with gratitude a little bit more so that she blooms.
Okay.
This is why Papaji used to say, even the gods come to satsang.
Mm.
Here's compassion, which is, you know, one way of saying it. It's divine, it's also natural, but she got encumbered, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's returning to her iridescent. No history. Right here, sparkling.
I like that, no history. That feels right.
Yeah.
I'll just keep saying yes to that.
Yeah. And what is our friend, the who we were calling Sorrow, what is, I always call her she for some reason, what is she doing now? How is she displaying or feeling, or what do you notice?
I get a visual of this person taking off a heavy winter coat, and just letting it fall to the ground.
Beautiful.
And the being inside is light.
Yes. And just ask her to let you feel her light-hearted being, so that it also touches your heart, that you know, this is such a helpful satsang, because I'm really even getting that history itself is an app, like on a phone. I hadn't seen that before. I mean, I'd seen the past as that, but I hadn't seen that the file that's maintained in the body mind, even kinesthetically and emotionally and as sensation and in the mind, wow, it's an app. It's a history app, and it's way too heavy.
It is.
Oh, my God.
I haven't felt like this for a long time, and it just surprised me that it would be coming up and sticking around, and it does feel like it was time to address the history.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful word. Yeah.
Yes, and it's so good, because then, I mean, one by one, as you notice, Vidya, things come to sit.
Uh-huh.
And I find it, I know I sound like doggedly positive, but they really come to give gifts, because when they liberate, when that sorrow, oh my God, the sorrow of compassion's own sorrow for the human condition and the animals and who knows what else, when it gets that thick, then it'll bring itself to the sage, the resonant sage in all of us, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then here she's opening and liberating herself, and then we get to benefit. The embodiment benefits from this moment.
Thank you so much for shedding light on that too. It's sometimes it's hard to see when you're in the middle of it.
Yes, especially sorrow. It can be very like a dark winter wet cloak.
Yeah.
It needs to be put by a fire.
yes, I've been wanting to do that.
Oh, very nice. And thank you, dear. I hadn't seen that before. History is
Thank you so much. I love you, Pamela.
I love you too, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela?
Yes?
Charlie.
Hey, welcome.
Okay, so I always love your satsangs, and the satsang. I have issues of, and like I've had a few teachers in the past, and it is always very harsh going our separate ways. And I have a lot of, even though I've been doing this paleo diet that has really cleaned me out somewhat, I noticed that I don't have these obsessive thoughts like I would, you know, the hurt and then the resentment. But I still have not worked out the, I could say I forgive this person and I understand, but it comes back to these texts, these mental texts I have of this resentment, why they weren't different. What happens is I just keep withdrawing. I mean, I'm a very solitary person, and it's not the way humans survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are communal beings.
Yeah, but we also go on retreat regularly, since each one of us is also nature itself. So, and nature has rhythm. So here, all of us, at least on the northern hemisphere, we're in our retreat winter bhava, really, divine mood. So thought, you know, does the either or, either communal or hermit. But we're all of it.
I mean, the practical side is that there's the inner side of communal and hermit, and then there's the outer side of just being in the world and surviving by being with a tribe, family, whatever. But there is this, it's just, I can't seem to, whether it's with my brother and his wife and this teacher or two, there's this I can see in terms of history, there's a Jewish sort of thing where if someone married out of the Jewish religion, they would say a ceremony of this person was dead.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah, it's a terrible cold,
that happened in many cultures, that shunning someone. But let's go back to this present moment, Charlie. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Yeah, so here we are. The tribe is gathering on the telephone. And we'll get back to the resentment, but first I want us to notice the felt sense of oneness, the field of respect, the listening that's here, the presence that's here, the devotion, really. Now, into this field, which we call satsang or grace or just naturalness, comes something called resentment. Then it has sort of heavy boots on. It goes boom, 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 right?
Right.
Yeah, here's a field of welcoming who we are as this warm, benevolent space. And I know you know this. I'm just really celebrating and speaking and bowing to what is. Here's this warm, benevolent space. Resentment is welcome here. It's uncomfortable, but welcome, welcome. Come sit. Because it also is not what it appears to be. It couldn't be just its role, just the way we are not just our role. So I find it more helpful to set the particulars that resentment is up in arms about aside for a moment and really honor its essence, not its essence, but its report. Its report is resentment.
So I think the resentment has to do with not being heard and seen,
yes,
or not being able to say what I see. I mean, actually, it's sort of, I come from a very critical family, and people have used to say, well, you should be an art critic or a movie critic. And there's ways where I have not been able to point out to people in some compassionate way, they need some sort of reflection of their behavior because they're a little unconscious.
Yes. Well, now each one of us has noticed that in ourselves and in so-called others, and there's always, and I speak for myself, awkwardness about inviting people to notice that in themselves. I mean, So let's first of all notice that it's awkward. And unfortunately, it's not even effective when you point out something. If somebody's really in role play is designed not to hear that.
Right. Well, and I guess it's the little child seeing the parents or whatever, and it's like, this is sort of, I spoke to a friend about this years ago, both of us, you know, it's like the little child's mouth hangs open and they say to be, you know, oh my God, they're just talking right through me and don't see me.
Yeah.
You know, they have their pattern, but for the child, and that's still part of me, it's very, I don't know what to do.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
The adult can say, okay, I see. There's still part of me that wants to shake them and say, wake up.
Okay, but in this moment, say yes to that. Because it doesn't have to be in words. Just say yes to that noticing of the encrusted conditioning, and just, you could, like a gorgeous inner silent howl that would go through the omniverse, just say, wake up. So feed that longing a little bit, Charlie.
I've never thought that, because like I say, when I said shake them up, I see, I really see kinesthetically, I could feel how shook up I get.
Yes, very true.
I get agitated, or it becomes, it's a very early child sort of thing of...
Yeah, but we're missing the gold, and I hate to be part of your program of people not listening to you, but my function here is to get us to the root. So there's a beautiful root here. There's that pure innocence that notices the conditioned. Yeah? It finds it actually shocking. And then there's this howl that's arising from the depths of the emptiness that wants to yell, wake up. So that's the root. Can you bow to that quickly? Before it goes back into formlessness?
Again, it's always with listening to Pamela, I sort of get it on one level, and then another part of me is saying, what is she talking about? You know, I could feel, and then I think, right, there's a certain sort of, it goes into humor. I mean, it goes into dark humor. I look at the world and, you know, it's, you know, the carnage in the world on all different levels. And I, I could just sort of shrug and say, well, this is the way it is.
Yes, but Charlie.
But I appreciate the howl.
Go back to the howl. That's right.
I mean, I remember literally there's a Robert Graves story about a man who could scream and kill people.
Yes, but go back to the howl that is coming from that gorgeous, dark eternality, and it just wants to yell, wake up.
Okay, well.
So just stay there and feed it, because it can touch all people right now in this moment, because the rest of nature is fine. It's just a human tribe. Let that dark, gorgeous emptiness just howl, wake up.
I could feel it. I could feel the, I have to say the conditioning is, my father was yelling when I was way little.
Oh gosh, yeah.
It is sort of, I know when a loud voice happens, I could feel the tension along my shoulders and neck, and I really shut down.
The idea
is very attractive, this inner howl from the pure blackness of stillness.
Woohoo!
I get it.
Yes, and it's silent, so it'll just seek out any area of cluttered confusion and just pop it.
And it feels like it also makes the blackness of the stillness, I don't know how, it's sort of beyond comprehension, blacker. Deeper, you know, it feels like it's a concentration of true nature rather than, reacting.
Ah, beautiful satsang.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Okay, this
you
is
are.
Helpful. I really, this has been, you know, how to be this divine power.
And
being compassionate and gentle at the same time.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. This is very. This was something I usually don't talk about. So it's. I appreciate this very much.
Thank you. And stay with it. Oh, there's our doggy helping.
Helping to remind, right, the inner growl.
Yes.
No, I thank you, Pamela, and I so appreciate the subtle idea of bowing now as opposed to some external gesture.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
It's really, really something subtle that shifted, yeah.
Thank you, dear.
You will.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Yes?
Pamela, hello, it's nice to hear you again. It's Amandine.
Oh, bonjour, Amandine.
Bonjour. Yeah, I was listening to everyone, and it was... it feels good to the heart, and... things are moving inside, but I'm seeing also that the judge has been present with me for a few weeks. It's weird because I feel both at peace and my heart is opening up a little bit more as time goes by, so it's very pleasant to experience this. It's new and very nice. And at the same time, when the judge comes back, he judges my friends and I judge myself.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really harsh and violent, and I feel, how could I be in the middle place where I don't know how to navigate this? Because the judge is really harsh towards my friends, and I judge them so harshly inside my head. And
yeah, so you're not doing that. That's just a function in the mind to
mm-hmm.
maintain separation and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's invite the judge here, because it's actually underneath all that uncomfortable movement and noise and judgments. It's actually a wonderful thing. So can we show
yes.
it its true nature so it doesn't hurt you anymore?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So just welcoming judgment. Come here, come here. Now, I had to apologize for trying to get rid of it, because I didn't realize everything is a divine quality just under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have your own way. And then ask it what its deepest pleasure is. Its deepest pleasure judging? Is that?
I don't think so. It looks like a big bear with the shoulders down, looking heavy and a bit sad.
Yes.
Too much, too overwhelmed inside, and
yeah.
shows on the face.
I love that image of the big bear with his shoulders down, looking sad. So asking that one to look behind its job, because
mm-hmm.
judgment is its job, not its naturalness.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it doesn't have to know, it could just look.
I think it's being followed by things.
Yeah, and so. Some compassion.
Mm.
It shared its suffering with...
Like chains, it has chains on his feet
oh.
and he's walking, but it's very big. It's big already, but it's feeling very heavy and...
Mm-hmm.
He feels very heavy inside because of the weight, all the
yeah.
chains behind him.
Yeah, and just agree with that. Natural
mm.
not to like that.
Mm.
Yeah. And ask him who he was before he had the chains.
Something light, with light, like a luminous... Light. I don't know.
Yeah. And does it feel like it's returning back to that? Just inviting it to notice.
I think he would like to come back to his
yeah.
true nature, but he feels. Maybe it can't be done so easily.
Yeah, yeah. And just inviting him, this bear, to look behind even that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or before difficult or it's not easy. What was true before all that?
That everything was possible before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're just inviting it to stay with its resonance. It doesn't have to believe anything or
mm-hmm.
change. We're just inviting it to notice how it would like to live.
I think it doesn't mind being a bear. He wants to be a dancing bear.
No chains.
Yeah.
Yeah, free to follow his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
a bit like Gene Kelly in, I don't know the movie, but when he dances.
Oh, Dancing in the Rain.
Yes.
I don't know if everyone heard, but, excuse me, Amandine said, now the bear is like Gene Kelly dancing in the rain in that movie. And yes. And before it was even a bear, before it took that beautiful dancing bear form.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
I see a forest. Peaceful forest.
Peaceful forest, yes. So its essence is free, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So when it went into its job, its protective job, then it became unhappy and miserable and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ask it, can it just live like this from moment to moment?
Like a dancing bear?
Well, it's intelligent, it's already free.
Mm-hmm.
It's all powerful for sure.
Mm.
Could it just live as presence, enjoy itself?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And sometimes a bear will bare their teeth, you know? A bear will pull its lips back and show its teeth, even though...
Yes, of course,
yeah.
Yes.
So once in a while it might do that, but that's... Now that you know its true nature is forest, stillness, dancing bear, would that be okay?
Yeah, of course, it feels better. Yeah. The heart, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's peaceful now. Thank you.
Yeah. So if it comes again, just you can be a little firm with it and ask it, you know, wouldn't it rather be a free bear rather than a judging bear? You'll have your own fun satsang you can give it.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you for guiding me.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful.
Much love to you.
Much love, Amandine.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Can you hear me, Pamela?
Now I can.
Oh, good. It's Marty here.
Hi, Marty. Welcome.
Hi. Something I've never asked you about, which I'm really curious about, is how does a person... sort of get their own resistance out of the way to attracting sort of abundance. And I don't just mean monetary, but all the abundant things that there are in life.
Well, you can't really get anything out of the way since everything is made of consciousness, right? But I like starting, I mean, you know me, I'm always going to start with devotion and gratitude. So can you thank the resistance for trying to keep you safe somehow?
Yes, I can. But it's kind of funny. It's kind of like it's got me locked in a box buried under the ground.
You know, I know. Unfortunately, that's the conditioning's idea of safety. Limitation and, you know, complete constraint. So just thank it a few more times, and it doesn't have to be sincere. And let it know you're safe. Because basically the conditioning, since it's not in the present moment, it's either in the past or the imaginary future, that's why the conditioning itself doesn't feel safe. So when you start helping it notice, I'm here, we're safe. So you're just confessing what is, you as presence, I'm here. This moment is safe. Just a few times, just to help that automatic program discern.
Is it something that you have encountered fairly frequently with people that because something that they've sort of programmed a while back that thinks they're not safe, that something's blocking them from enjoying abundance?
Well, it's built in, as far as I can tell, it's built into the spiritual persona. Yeah, there's some idea that by us not having as much, someone else will have more. So it's noble somehow to have lack. Yeah? So it's part of the spiritual persona, not for everyone, but if you dig a little deeper, it's kind of like a little myth. So no one benefits by us having less food, shelter, friends, fun, creativity. Yeah, no one benefits. It's just a really misunderstanding. Yeah, so just in this moment, thank a few more times, like give a sort of a general blessing to all your servants, all your apps that are tirelessly protecting you. And then find a phrase that resonates for you. It could be bounty or divine prosperity or blessings or life enjoying its infinite nature. Find a phrase that sort of enlivens the field.
Do you want me to say that out loud, or?
Well, no, just even within, just.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you'd like to share it with us, feel free.
The word is thrive.
Beautiful, yes. Yeah. But I would also add, if it resonates, thrive and shine.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so maybe just a few times.
Thrive and shine.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Because this is already what is, our naturalness. But we're just letting the body-mind know it's safe. So all these funny decisions happened. Some of them apparently personal, though nothing is really. And some just impersonal misunderstandings.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend a lot of time saying that over and over again and meditating on it. That's
oh, very nice. Now, it's just a little invocation. Don't use it too much. But then, more importantly, you want to thank the containment, the limitation, and the lack to survive apps.
I see.
Yeah, that's the main important thing. And when they quiet, then just a few thrive and shine is welcome here.
Do you think, Pamela, when somebody uses a positive affirmation a lot, that maybe that makes the resistance come out even louder and stronger sometimes too?
It can, because originally they're used to invoke the misunderstandings to come out of the, you know, the subterranean depths, you know, and it does do that. But here we're just really honoring that resistance, all the servants, all the apps, they love you. They know who you are. They know you are precious. And in their wonderfully bumbling way, they just tried to protect you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marty. Nice to be with you.
Same here, Pamela. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pamela?
Yes?
Sue's here.
Hello.
Hello. I've been so enjoying this, especially since I got to see you yesterday, too, like two days in a row.
Fun.
And it's a little bit riffing off of what Marty just talked about. Like, I get sort of attached to that joy.
Oh, okay. Well, you can honor that's your resonance joy, yeah?
I enjoy it so much, and then the thing he was saying about, you know, sometimes it gets louder if you do affirmations or something, those voices, like the other woman's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's like I'm noticing like urgency rise up, you know, the urgency of like, oh, but what?
I just missed the last and most important word. You're noticing?
Urgency.
Urgency.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, the call's going to end, and I don't know what I'm doing with the rest of my day. You know, that's the usual blah, blah. Urgency app.
Very good. Yeah, so let's bring that one to satsang.
Oh.
Yeah, just a little compassion, because it got, somehow it got threatened almost into rushing and racing, and there's time thrown in there and lack of time and an
evaluation, a better way to spend it.
Yeah. So now thank all that.
Yeah.
And once again, we're just stroking the rescue animal that we call conditioning. We're just, oh, thank you. Oh, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done such a good job. Thank you for keeping me safe and getting me going and trying to organize my day.
Such a familiar little sweetie.
And ask it what it needs in order to rest and feel safe and kind of come home to this moment. What does it need?
Well, the first word that came was trust, and then I just kept breathing into that, expecting something else to come, but nothing.
Okay. So just say yes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's giving us satsang. I love how it's always a circle of satsang. So ask it, who are you that you are so wise? Because it went from the conditioned to the unconditioned, kind of in a heartbeat. Who are you?
I'm not getting any verbal answer, but my eyes are tearing up.
Yes, yes, yes. And just honoring it as presence or beingness, just giving it your full loving attention, gratitude.
I think I'm kind of awed that right underneath urgency can be that so.
Isn't that amazing?
And easily.
I know. Well, they're all, needless to say, we can notice they're all animated by stillness, by natural intelligence. But for them to return in a heartbeat is, I find it, I'm in accord with you, awe-inspiring.
Yeah. And it shifts so easily with just tender attention.
Yes, that's it. Because the conditioning doesn't want to be conditioning. Everywhere across the planet, it's reporting it doesn't like its job. The good news. And here we're noticing even that the conditioned and the unconditioned are not two. Is quite a breathtaking moment.
It feels almost like they're simultaneously happening inside my body.
Wonderful. And just bless all of it, or notice you as the warm, welcoming space. Are already blessing everything.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, love. Thank you for liberating that friend. So we have some timelessness left for one more friend to just report, if you're so inclined.
Hello, Pamela. It's Julia.
Hello, Julia.
Hello. I'm always shy to talk on these things. I have two friends who haven't been feeling like I've been resonating with them basically ever since we met. And I've been kind of trying to let it just sort of fade away, and my efforts seem to be met with their reaching out even harder for me. And part of me feels guilty for not wanting to connect with them. I feel like, you know, we are all one, and I should just be there for them. I feel like they get a lot out of being with me, but I don't. It's a real chore to do that, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can we start with that your conditioning doesn't resonate with their conditioning?
Definitely.
Yeah. And just take a moment to really honor that that's what is.
Mm.
And that that's actually natural.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, natural not to like conditioning doesn't like itself, let alone any apparent other's conditioning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in this moment, can you just invite them to come sit in satsang with you? Not with you as who they think you are, but just as your naturalness, stillness and stillness, just sitting together. And what's noticed? Anything is okay.
I feel like they like me so much because I listen to them, and I just feel so drained after seeing them because they just soak up all my energy and then it's gone. And they never want to hear about, you know, it's not a give and take. I feel like it's just a take.
Okay, yeah. That's the problem with being silent, is that we're so good at listening. So just agree that you don't want to listen to, you just don't want to keep listening to it all. Just really honor that that's not your truth.
Uh-huh. I can do that.
Now, ask them, here is a space of rest. That's what satsang really is, an invitation to rest, for the conditioning, for even presence to rest. So ask them, what would satisfy them forever? Is going on and on and on about what's happening to them, would that satisfy them forever?
No.
No. And just ask them, see, even though it appears like it's imagination having the conversation with them within, it's actually not. It's a heart-to-heart. So ask them what they're seeking in all the expressing complaints and everything they don't like. What are they seeking?
I think they're seeking peace and self-love.
Yes. Yeah. And ask them, is it working, all that talking about all the things that's going on? Is it working? Are they getting the love and the that they're seeking?
No.
No. Oh, and a little compassion for that. Look at their conditioning is trying so hard to get them compassion and love. And everyone, even their conditioning, is noticing it's not working. And just inviting them to look behind their history and ideas. And what's felt within you or noticed?
Well, for a minute I felt like I touched that part of them that they're seeking. And then I felt like I was met with more resistance and anger.
Oh, that's all right. Now just to finish with, and you can keep this inner satsang going on your own, but just thank their resistance and protective services for protecting them. Because there's some perceived threat in their conditioning about returning to naturalness or relaxing. And just we're just honoring their conditioning. It's safe. It's safe. It's natural. Just reassuring them it's safe to rest.
Thought I'd turn that down.
That's okay. So we're sort of out of timelessness now, but what I would do is you can be very direct with them and say, hey, you know, I've noticed that you just be really direct and just say, hey, it doesn't work for me, you guys going on and on and on about your stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't work for me. You know?
Yeah.
That's what's true. And that's a wake-up call to them. I remember the first moment in my life, so to speak, that a lady said that to me. I was going on about something, and she goes, I don't want to hear about it. And it stopped me totally. And it was a good stopping.
Mm.
Yeah, so, you know, the we so serve each other when we just tell the truth. Hey, no. No more of that. Not here for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know we're out of time, so I will definitely carry on with that.
Yes. And I'm always available for a longer conversation and satsang inquiry about all these things anyway, so if you're so inclined.
I am. Okay.
Okay, love.
So much, Pamela.
Thank you.
Bye.
And just wanting to thank everyone here for reaching us in the stillness, and to Kate and East Bay Open Circle, that remarkable group of loving friends that support all of us. So I'm going to turn it over to Kate.
Thank you, Pamela, and thank you, everyone. Pamela is joining us again on December 14th and the 28th, same time, same place, so it'd be lovely for you to join us. I am going to ask that everybody unmute themselves due to some echoing issues, so feel free to unmute yourself by pressing star 6 to say your goodbyes.
Thank you,
bye,
Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pamela.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you all.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
You, everybody else, too.
Wow, yes. Om Shanti Shanti.